BBC Radio Manchester.
23 minutes past four here on BBC Radio Manchester. It has been an extraordinary day for one particular man because surgeons have carried out the UK's first double hand transplant. Now, the recipient, Chris King, who's 57 and from South Yorkshire, lost both his hands except the thumbs in an accident with a metal pressing machine some 3 years ago. Now, the operation was carried out by specialists at the Leeds General Infirmary last week, and Mr. King says he already has some movement in his new hands and that everything has gone perfectly.
It was like the hands were made to measure. They absolutely fit. And it's actually opened up a memory, because I could never remember what my hands looked like after the accident. That part of your brain shut down. And I suppose that it's a protective way. But as soon as I saw them, I realised that's what my fingers look like. I couldn't wish for anything better. It's better than any lottery win.
Bless him. It is extraordinary. If you see any of the pictures, they're on the internet and all sorts today. They're absolutely amazing. Well, Kavit Amin is a plastic surgery registrar at the Centre for PhD Doctoral Training in Regenerative Medicine at the University of Manchester, and I'm pleased to say joins us this afternoon. Welcome to the programme. Just how complex surgery is this, hand surgery?
Well, this is very complex surgery, but the we've learnt a lot in terms of through the training that we've had over time in the last 50, 60 years. Plastic surgeons work very, very hard to try and join vessels together, join nerves together and understand the complex anatomy that's involved to do this. Because we've been doing this procedure for some time when someone's own arm comes off. But the unique thing in this situation is that it happens to be a donor arm.
And is it surprising that he's already got movement in his new hands?
No, it's not surprising. There is muscles that are active further up from where the transplant will have happened, and by linking the tendons, those muscles will already have been active previously. And this transplant's unique in that it's a bit further down the arm, in a very tricky area, essentially within the hand, compared to some of the other transplants that are much further up. And that's enabled him to have functioning muscle within the forearm that's facilitated those movements.
And I'm assuming that it's lower down because of the way that he suffered the injury in the first place, the fact that it was a machine injury rather than anything else.
Absolutely. And looking at the photographs, they're bilateral in terms of it's fairly symmetrical between both sides. So it will be from an industrial type accident, yeah.
So how high is the risk of rejection? Because we hear about, you know, with organ transplants and things, you're on anti-rejection drugs for pretty much forever and a day. So when it comes to things like hands, is it the same thing?
Absolutely. So rejection's very complex, and just to let the listeners know that rejection's the process where the recipient's body will attack whatever it sees as being foreign. And this depends on a number of things. So the individuals will be on immunosuppression, which is medications to dampen the immune system down. And it depends on what immunosuppression they're given, what type of transplant they've had, because we know that skin is very antigenic, which means that the body recognises foreign skin very quickly compared to some other solid organs, such as a kidney, for example.
There's more danger of rejection then?
It's difficult to grade it, also because this type of transplantation is a lot more novel, and we're learning a lot. So there's now an international registry where everyone's pooling data together, and the reason it's complex is because the individual that's receiving the hand transplant might be on more medication that will dampen the immune system, so it's very difficult to tell without seeing each picture altogether.
He's obviously absolutely delighted with the way things have gone, and I'm assuming he's going to give hope to a lot of other people, including ex-servicemen and women who may have lost limbs.
I would say so, and that has been a growing concern over the last 10 years. There's a number of individuals that have been coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq, and these are the perfect patients, similar to the transplant that you just mentioned today, because they're highly motivated, and they will make sure that they take all the medications that they need to prevent graft rejection, as well as you know, partake in what is essentially a proper rehabilitation program to get them up to speed.
And I'm assuming that there is a certain amount of mental fitness which is needed when you're going into surgery like this, because expectations and are also have to be carefully watched, don't they?
They do, and that's what's so fantastic about the program in the UK, much similar to when we talk about facial transplantation about 10 years ago. Previously, it's all about patient selection and who can take all the media into context and the family situation, and somebody who can attend hospital frequently. And the way we're doing it now is the right way, which is screening individuals that would, A, benefit, but also are able to go through the entire long run and also have the expectations, but also be primed to the fact that things don't always work out. And luckily in this case, things have been successful.
Just as a slight aside, I take a genuine interest in things like organ donation. My dad's benefited, which is one of the reasons why I'm particularly interested in it. But it doesn't say necessarily on an organ donor card that you want to donate your limbs. Does that mean that we're going to have to rethink how we ask for donations in the future? I mean, where do you get a spare pair of hands from?
Exactly, and the other difficulty sometimes is understanding the consent process required, because it's quite a sensitive area to talk about face or hands. In the United States in 2013, they now regard the hand or the face as an actual organ now, so it's all part of the organ donation process, and the organ procurement networks, they're the networks that go out to retrieve the organs, all work in concert, and they've got a really good system going. And I think in the UK we're moving towards that now because of the media interest this has gained, and also that we can support these programs in the UK, and there's a number of premier centres that will be able to do that.
Well, hopefully with good news stories like this, it will encourage more people to at least talk about it, if nothing else.
I think so, and a lot of it is the support from the British Association of Plastic Reconstructive Surgeons that have allowed me to take time out for my research to try and think about how we can improve patients' lives.
Well, I hope you'll come back and talk to us again when you come up with some more conclusions. We'd be delighted to talk to you. Thank you very much for your time. Kavit Amin, Plastic Surgeon Registrar at the Doctoral Training in Regenerative Medicine at the University of Manchester. It's Michelle Daniel. It is 4:30.